Chuck and Janelle Hawley.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Chuck and Janelle.
Is that Richard?
John Satriano.
Hello.
John. Hey, John.
How are you?
Not too bad. How's everybody doing?
All right.
Good.
Martin Frost.
Hi, Allie and Martin.
Hi.
Hey.
Who's on? Just John and Martin?
Mike. Mike's here, too.
From your underpants.
She's going to meet.
Can anybody hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. But who are we hearing?
Mike.
That was Mike?
Yeah, he announced his name quite clearly when he answered.
Yeah, but I didn't know who was speaking just now because it was kind of loud.
Ken Ferris.
You guys all get the email from Kevin?
Which one?
He sent it like 5 minutes ago. He basically said he can't make the meeting, and he apologizes for the late notice and his lack of responsiveness lately because of other factors. He didn't really go into too many details, but that's pretty much the gist of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm waiting for Kim, though. Sure.
Hi, John.
He was here.
Hello. Yeah, I'm here. I'm just hanging out.
Kim Laird. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hi, Kim.
On behalf of John, I'd like to say hello.
John likes to sit back.
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm always very quiet and don't like to state my opinion or anything.
Yeah, so. No, of course.
waiting on Richard. We'll give him about two more minutes.
My, everyone's quiet tonight.
Yeah. I'm reading your post.
I'm tutoring kids.
I'm installing a computer.
I'm just glad it's finally getting some cool weather down here, finally.
Oh, come to Pennsylvania. You'll get plenty of cool.
Yeah. It was like 78 degrees here on Christmas Day. It was miserable.
Oh, sure. Rub it in.
Yeah, well, it sucks all the fun out of Christmas because it doesn't really feel like Christmas when you're debating on whether or not to turn on the air, you know?
It's 7 degrees right now here in the Poconos.
Wow.
Yeah, it's freaking cold.
Yeah, it's actually going to get cold for the area here on tomorrow night. I think it's going to go down to like, it's like 22, which is cold for us down here.
Yeah.
I think it's 73 here. On the coast, which is unusual.
Oh.
That is to say, the left coast.
Oh, okay. And a strange lack of humidity over here. Yeah, I noticed that because I was like, bloody noses running. Because it's usually 80 to 90%, so I'm used to moist air. And it always gives me the bloody noses.
You guys want to start it here, and if Richard joins us, he joins us?
Sure.
Kevin, Kim, and I don't know if you heard, Kevin is out for today.
If you haven't seen it in your email, you will tomorrow.
All right, so I'm going to call this meeting to order at 8:06. Do roll call. Chuck Hawley present. Kim Laird?
Here.
John Satriano?
Let's get off
here.
The couch.
I'm mute.
Mute. Ken Ferris.
I'm here.
Anthony Shave.
Yo, yo.
Janelle Hawley.
Here.
Martin Frost.
Club, club.
And Mike Sullivan.
Here.
And, sorry, one more, Holly Greeley.
Here.
Did I miss anybody? Okay.
Who's not here? Jerry, Martin. Who else?
Is Jerry supposed to be here?
No, Jerry's not on the board anymore, Holly.
Thank you. Sorry. I mean, you're okay. Fine schedule.
Oh, Richard Kennison and Kevin Axtell are the two board members that are not here.
Okay, thanks.
Sandy said she would probably be here. But
yeah, Sandy said she might be here as well. And as far, I'm not expecting anybody else. All right, approval of agenda. I will move to approve the agenda. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All right. Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? Agenda's approved. Approval of a minutes from December 10th, 2008. I will move to approve the minutes. A second?
Second.
And any discussion? Issues with any of those? Let's put it to a vote. Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? It's are approved. Let's start out with reports. Ollie, would you like to go first?
Sure. You all got my email, I'm presuming, and I'll just go over the highlights again. The year-end financial statements are essentially finished. There is an estimate included for advertising income from the winter issue. I've not gotten that report from Alan Howard yet, as well as foreign postage from the winter issue. But I did put in estimates, and they're likely very, very close. So those are the only things that are likely to change at all from what I sent. The profit and loss shows approximately a $26,000 loss for the year, and most of that comes from the general fund. The loss in the general fund was $26,877. There was a slight profit on the festival. There was income shown in the life member fund. Most of that is interest income, although there was one life membership sold during the year. And then in the archive fund, we're showing about a $6,000 loss, and that was monies spent on both digital archives and documentation of the archives in the office. As a result of that $26,000 loss, of course, the cash balances are down. The undesignated cash balances are down compared to prior year by about $23,000, $24,000. And the cash that is designated for archives is down because I transferred money from the archive fund to cover those expenses for digital archiving and documentation of the archives. I also transferred some money from the general fund into the life member fund for that membership, that was life membership that was purchased during the year. membership was down. Membership, not income, but numbers were down about 8% compared to prior year. And that results in, excuse me, a reduction in membership income of $3,368. Assuming that the number of members stays the same in 2009, the price increase on the memberships will result in an increase in revenue of about $6,000. The next projects that I have to get done are the budget for 2009, so if there are any, if anybody has any input about that, I would love to hear it. I'm going to try and get out a proposed budget to you in the next couple of weeks, just based on last year's spending, and also on the festival budget, Mike's festival budget for 09. Next is the 990, the Form 990, and as soon as I have final numbers from Alan Howard, I'll go ahead and start on that, and then the annual report has to be submitted to the state of Delaware, I believe, by the end of March, although I have to check on the deadline for that. And that's what I've got on my plate. And I'm happy to entertain questions or comments.
When you say, hey, this is Anthony, Holly.
Hi.
When you say you're going to do the budget for 2009, you're basically going to prepare your estimation of where our dollars are going to go in 2009. Is that correct?
And where they're going to come from, yes. So I'll, just for the sake of expediency, I'll prepare my estimate and send that out to the board for revision and comment and amendment, and hopefully as a group we'll arrive at a final budget.
Now, for 2009, the magazine costs are fixed provided we don't cancel our current contract, correct?
Right.
Okay. All right. So 2010 is where the new magazine contract really comes into play, and that's kind of not involved here at this point.
Yeah. And actually, the fixed cost on the magazine, that's mostly true, but the advertising revenue from the magazine, which we split 50-50 with Alan Howard, is
mm-hmm.
variable. It's roughly $3,000 a year, but it varies from one issue to the next depending on how many ads he sells. And the cost of the foreign postage varies a little bit also from one issue to the next. So there is some variability in the cost, but it's not very much.
Yeah, that's minor. But okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, and if anybody has unintended expenses, or not unintended, unexpected, or something that we see new that needs to come up, we should bring that up in the next couple weeks, I guess. But I don't know anything off the top of my head that would be coming up different from last year at this point, other than, you know, what comes from Mike, if there's anything.
Okay. Is there any more work, John, to be done on the digital archiving, or is that finished?
They're in the final process now, the final phase, and there's one more of those payments.
Of about $1,700?
Right.
Okay. I'll put that into the budget for 2009. any other special projects going on that I should budget for?
No.
Okay. And if anybody has any receipts that they're expecting reimbursement for from 2008, I need those ASAP so that I can get those into the 2008 financial statements.
Holly, I don't have any monies that I'm looking to have refunded to me. However, I have been paying, when we've used the speed survey, I've been donating the $20 per month that it costs us. So it's minimal, but that's a donation I'm making to the IJA. So I'll send you that just so you can list it under donations or whatever.
That would be great.
Well, should we be doing that type of stuff if we spend our own money to...
Yeah, I mean, in theory, if you're spending money on behalf of the organization, it should be recorded as an in-kind donation and as an expense. So the net effect on the bottom line is zero. But just to have the records correct, it should reflect a donation.
I'll keep track of some of those expenses. I've put out money for championships, mailing, and stuff like that, and I'm bad with receipts and find them months later and then say it's too late and don't want to bother you guys. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to just keep track of that kind of stuff and send me an email. Then
I'll try to be better about that. So,
okay.
And I'll do that because in the future, if somebody else takes it over, we should be aware of all the expenses that goes.
Right. It also gives you a better idea of what your real cost of operations is. You know, if people are picking up the tab and we don't record any of it, then we don't really know what it's costing us to run the organization.
Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Holly, this is John. My question to you is pretty broad, but do you have any suggestions on where we should be looking to improve our financial situation for next year?
I have
Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
I have lots of suggestions.
Hello?
I would ask two questions. One is, are you talking next year, in other words, short term, or are you really looking for a longer term answer? And two is that on the agenda as a topic of discussion rather than just part of my report?
I don't know that it's on just the broad topic of finances, is on, is it? Chuck, is that on the agenda?
It's not specifically on the agenda, but I mean, normally we could talk about it during Varia, but I have no issue talking about it now. I mean, we have Holly here, and I don't want to drag her through the rest of the meeting.
Okay. Somehow I thought Sandy had asked to have it added to the agenda.
You asked to have it?
No, I thought Sandy had. Did I misread that?
I did not see that.
There was a post, and I'm looking to see how it was worded.
My request was to have Kim initiate a conversation with regards to the financial situation of the IJA, and that would specifically include asking you, Holly, for your input on this.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm happy to give you my thoughts right now if this is the time.
Yeah, it's fine. Does anybody have a problem with that? I assume not. This is something we should be talking about. This is the... I'm sorry for not putting that up on the agenda. So.
Okay. So here's my thought. For 2009, I mean, I think in the immediate future, there's not a lot that can be done to change the financial picture except to really manage the festival expenses very carefully so that as festival registration come in, if it looks like it's not up to what we had planned on, festival expenses need to be adjusted accordingly wherever that's possible so that the festival doesn't end up being a drain on the organization's resources. As far as a longer-term outlook, though, which I think is really more important to talk about or as important to talk about, I really think that we need to be thinking expansively rather than thinking in terms of contraction. And I think that the organization right now has benefits of membership that can't really be sold outside of the membership. So you've got a festival, you've got a magazine, and you've got members who are willing to support those two things, but that's not something that you can really do a lot of fundraising around. And so I think that the most important thing that needs to happen is program development in a way that it can be pulled outside of the organization to generate, partly to generate funds, but mostly to generate an audience, to generate members. So you create your own membership. You know, you're like Walmart. You create your own market. And the sticking point right now in getting that kind of stuff done is manpower, because you've got a volunteer organization and you've got a board with limited time. And so I think that the decision that really needs to be made, in my mind, is do we take the leap of faith that that kind of program development can be successful and hire someone to do it and hope that or plan on having that position not only pay for itself but develop a product that can really rebuild the organization. So those are my two cents for what it's worth. Does that answer your question, John?
I asked for your opinion, so I guess it asked it. But my response would be, your answer is generating another question in my mind. Basically, if we took that leap of faith and we hired someone, and for whatever reason, and it might be a number of reasons, they failed to expand the organization.
Mm-hmm.
That would pretty much kill the organization, wouldn't it?
Well, it depends on how much you're paying them and how long you let that continue before you have some sort of review process. I mean, the organization has cash in the bank. In operating funds, you only have $40,000, but in the Life Member Fund and in the Archive Fund, you know, you've got a considerable amount of cash. And the board, there's no legal restriction on that cash. So the board can make a decision to use some of that for this purpose. And if you do that and it fails, depending on how much you've committed to it, it doesn't kill the organization. It depletes those funds a little bit. But your point is I think a really good one, that you want to be cautious and you want to have some metrics along the way so that you know before it's too late whether this is working or not.
And I guess, this is Chuck, I guess my question would be, you know, what's too far, how much money, and we start to get into the specifics of that, and I don't know if this is a conversation right now, but...
Yeah, I think that's a much bigger conversation and maybe requires a separate call.
And my concern with that, without really asking for an answer and just knowing that the way things are, is how do we come to a decision on that and make that confidently? I don't know. I'm in a position right now where I feel like nobody wants to make a decision. Nobody wants to go forward with that. And this includes myself.
Mm-hmm.
Change is going to be resisted, and if you push it hard, you got to step up and do it. And I don't feel like there's the backing to do it, either monetarily or just support with the effort going through with the volunteer organization. But it would be an investment into that.
Yeah.
It's worrisome, but, you know, maybe that's what has to happen.
Yeah. I absolutely understand that concern. My worry really is that inaction is worse, because you're just going to see a gradual deterioration of the membership and the product that you're trying to sell. So eventually you're going to be dipping into that cash anyway, and, in fact, it eventually is not really very far away if nothing changes from where we are now. You know, if the festival can't generate significant profits and the membership continues to decline or even stays where it is, that cash balance in operations will continue to decline. And if you start doing things like trying to significantly reduce expenses by cutting the magazine, well, then you've really got no product to sell. I mean, that, I think that's the kiss of death for membership, myself.
Yeah.
Holly, it sounds like what you're saying, though, is our first course of action really needs to do some program development, figure out what we can offer, what we can put together, and what would maybe attract some grant and corporate sponsorship money. Is that right?
That's right. And if the board has the time and energy to do that without hiring someone, I think that's great. It's just, it just doesn't seem like that's the case. And the actual grant writing, I think, takes some expertise that I don't know if that expertise resides on the board or not. I don't honestly know what people's backgrounds are. So, but I think that grant writing and fundraising are specific skills that probably need to be hired. But
I lack them, Holly. I lack them.
And I do too. I mean, I am not a fundraiser. You know, I'm a pencil pusher. So
I've written grants with our school district, but that's specifically for education grants. So. You know, the idea that you had of going into the schools, and that if we were to develop that idea, you know I could write a grant like that, especially with the help of our grant writer in our school. I could get her to donate time, I know that for sure.
Yeah. I do think it makes a lot of sense for the board to take the initiative to do some brainstorming and think about what kinds of programs might work, and that will also make the process of hiring someone easier if, in fact, that's the route you decide to take.
And actually, for those that are newer to the board, we've had, his name is escaping me, who did the ideation workshops.
Erica. Son and Junior.
Yeah. What was that?
Len Furman.
Because he had done a lot with the ideation stuff, and I can forward the stuff that he had sent to me last year, after last year's fest. There were some really great ideas on there, and he does work for a bank, as a banking company of some sort.
I believe it's Bank of America, actually.
I think he does. And
Bank of America.
If I remember in a conversation with him, he has grant writing experience as well. So between his work with ideation workshops and getting ideas and proposals together, and if he does have that background in grant writing, he may be a person to approach to see if he'd be interested in helping us.
My concern is this... I think this is good, and this is a sort of a good little step to take, but I don't think this is going to marathon. I think we need to get something. If we really want to make a serious change, it's going to make a difference over years. We need to get something in place and sort of look to, you know, for years, even if it doesn't make money right up front in the first year, maybe it does more, and it's a longer-term investment, because it's great to get a grant or two, but when that money runs out, or we have to use it for something very specific. I'm more attracted to Holly's point about building programs that builds our membership and creates our audience and lets us sell us as a product. And as far as selling a product, our festival and our membership, I think we've undersold it for years. So the little that we do have, we sort of undervalued. I think we need to sort of think beyond just person we have right now. We need to not think of it as specific people, because it lasts through people. It needs to last through multiple boards.
At the same time, Chuck, you got to start somewhere. You know,
I'd sort of like to maybe get some ideas out there of, you know, something that's worth long term support, something that's really going to generate audience and membership.
But see, if you run the programs right, if you get a grant or several of them to run whatever programs you want to run, that's where the membership is then going to, in turn, grow, hopefully. That's the idea. By getting the name out there, by getting, by showing people the product that we have to offer, whatever it may be that we choose to do, it opens up the grant opportunities and in turn shows people who we are, and hopefully they want to join us.
Right, and I guess my first question is, before we get a program out there to sell who we are and what we are, what are we selling and what value are we selling it for? So I'm looking at it maybe differently, in that you should see what our product is and reevaluate that and look at the value on that. I think there's a serious investment there. I think you get more out of it. I mean, you don't try to find the people you're going to sell to and then decide what you're going to sell. You know what you're going to sell, and then you go market it. And I think before we go market it, we should make, I think maybe a little more focus on what we have would be better.
I think you're saying the same thing.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, I think this whole conversation kind of points out the basic problem that Holly is talking about. She's really saying what we need to do is hire somebody who knows what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
somebody who knows how to build membership in nonprofits, somebody who knows how to write grants, somebody who knows how to produce a product and make an organization and build membership. And, you know, the conversation keeps turning back the way it always does in the IJA to, well, what can we do? What can our volunteers do? Maybe we can find a guy who does this. You know, yeah, we can. We've always done that. And, you know, basically we live on borrowed time, on whatever time and ideas people are willing to give us that they have left over at the end of the day. That stuff is miles and miles away from having a professional who knows what he's doing and whose responsibility it is to produce results.
Yeah, I agree.
You are right, John.
The problem is, reality of the situation is, I think that in order to get someone like that in place, would require somebody to champion that project who was really behind it with a lot of passion and a lot of will to stand up to the membership and say, listen, we have to, you know, first we have to pay this guy to get his opinion, but then we have to listen to it and actually do what he tells us, whether we like it or not. You know, it's going to make our organization less homey, less of a social organization, less of a social club, and more of a commercial product, because that's what's really necessary to survive in the marketplace. I don't think that, you know, there's a significant part of the membership that does not want that.
Well, and I kind of feel like the one disconnect, which, you know, maybe this is coming away from the social club part, is that, you know, we talk about getting a videographer or an editor for our videos that has to be basically a juggler, because they're the only ones that are going to understand what we like, and as a community. And how can we get someone who's into nonprofits? It's not like we're just raising money for a good cause. It's we're very specific in what we like, and trying to get somebody to understand that, I think, can be difficult.
I disagree with you there, Chuck. I think, you know, there's a profession. There's a line of people who do that as their work. You know, the first part of that job when they come in is to find out what the organization is about, what members want, what jugglers are about, what appeals to them, stuff. But they don't have to be jugglers to start. That's part of what it is.
Maybe not. I don't know.
And in a case like this as well, the more I think about it, it may actually benefit the organization to have someone who is not so connected to it, someone who can have a fresh point of view and not be thinking with their heartstrings rather than their head.
But like I say, as much as I firmly believe that that's what the organization needs, I think it's really very unrealistic to think that might put that. It's easy for us to sit around and go, yes, that's what it needs, and that's the great to get that.
Don, we're having trouble hearing you.
I'm sorry. It's easy to sit around and say that's what we need, and it's great if we could get that in place. But I honestly don't see it materializing. I think we're probably better off talking about more realistic options,
such as.
Unless somebody is willing to champion that charge and, you know, knowing full well how difficult it's going to be, you know, it's probably not worth talking about.
And what kind of options, John, are you thinking about in terms of being more realistic?
Well, I think, you know, there are some simple things we can do, some fat-trimming things like... you know, either getting rid of the video or raising the price, you know, very small things like that that we can do short term to make small differences. Basically, like I said on the forum at some point, I think the organization can do well by husbanding its resources, you know, and just carefully letting them carry the organization through its retirement over the next 20 years. I just don't see it growing. I just don't see, you know, unless somebody comes out with a lot of energy that I'm willing to do what needs to be done, I just don't see it growing.
Anybody else have any thoughts?
I think we have a lot to digest here, and we need to keep this discussion going, though, and decide on a path that we're going to follow. Because we do have to look short term, but we do also need to look longer term and decide what we're going to do and how we're going to do it.
My next chair column is basically going to kind of lay this out, or lay out the situation as I see it, the whole volunteer system as it's been in place for years and the result of it, as well as the economy sort of going down and a couple of other factors that are sort of contributing to where we are right now, and to let people know we're sort of at a turning point here where maybe it's not so much of a turning point, it's more of a realization where something needs to change, or this is going to continue, and it's going to take some sort of commitment from the membership, whether it's in volunteer hours, a lot of them, and time investment, or it's it's going to have to be a monetary investment. I'm going to make sure to not put an answer out there. Because to be honest, I don't really know the answer. I don't feel like I have the answer, but basically just laid it out to say, you know, something has to change. So if anybody wants to read that column before I send it, please let me know. I'm going to try to finish it up tonight. But yeah, so that's sort of, I want to lay it out for the membership and those who aren't on the forum to let them know, like, this is what's happening. So to be upfront and forward about it, and I think it's important. So anybody at all, board, not board, wants to read it and know about it, just email me, let me know, and I'll send it out to them for their review.
Sandy Brown.
Hey, Chuck.
Yep.
I think if you're going to do something like this, something like that, you need to be as blunt as you possibly can be, and you have to use as simple words as you possibly can. And that's not... This is something I take from presenting frequently. In general, your audience is pretty intelligent, but at the same time, they don't want to read a million words, and they don't want to sit there and have to think about it. So, just keep that in mind when you're writing this. Be blunt. Say, hey, we lost $26,000. Fact. You know what we don't know what to do about it.
That's going to be within the first couple of sentences. So, and just so you know, it's only 600 words, and you can basically read through it in about 4 to 7 minutes, depending on how fast you read. So,
again, I 4 to 7 minutes is a long time for people who don't like to read.
Most people don't read beyond 400 words.
Right.
So keep the important stuff at the top half.
But like I say, email me if you'd like to read it ahead of time, and I welcome comments.
Yeah, I'm not going to email you. Just send it to me.
You're getting it whether you like it or not.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any thoughts tonight?
Sorry.
Can move to Mike. Mike, do you need Holly to stay on?
Chuck?
Yes?
Can I just put Martin on the spot for 1 second and ask him if he has any different perspective given his long-term view of the ups and downs of the IJA?
Well, I'm a bit pessimistic in that I've seen boards since, you know, the late 80s try to do all kinds of things to increase membership, and basically, you know, none of them worked. There were membership drives, you know, that brought in a few members, but, you know, who knows how many members. It just nothing has really worked. Maybe there's some plan that could do something, but we're looking at jugglers and trying to get them to agree to join up. And, you know, when there was no Internet and there were no local festivals, that was much easier. And with the advent of those, it has sort of started fading. The interest has started fading away.
Okay.
I'm not saying the IJ can't or shouldn't still exist, but I don't see a magic bullet. But, you know, there's probably one we just can't find.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, Chuck, to interrupt. Go ahead.
I'm in no rush to move on if people want to speak.
I'm all set.
Anybody have anything else? And
just quick question is, Holly, are you planning on sticking around?
What do you mean by sticking around? You mean tonight?
Yeah, throughout the rest of the phone call.
Yeah, I mean, I can if you need me to.
The other option is I just ask you my question now, and we get it over with.
Go ahead.
I guess there's been a lot of talk about, in conjunction with the magazine renewal contract, it just coming up with a two-tier membership program where people getting a digital version pay a lower amount and people with a print copy pay a higher amount. If I have to investigate that, I probably am going to need some assistance from you in terms of going through the numbers and running scenarios to see what it means if it works out to have, you know, three quarters of the membership with print and vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm certainly happy to help you any way I can, but I will tell you that I am not privy to the breakdown of Alan Howard's costs, so I don't know how much we're paying in printing costs and how much we're paying in labor.
Right.
And you may not eliminate any of the labor costs by going digital.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought, too. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. So, and I just don't know what the breakdown is, so I feel a little bit in the dark about it.
Alan is supposed to be getting me the breakdown of all of that so we can take a look at it, but he has not yet gotten it to me.
Yeah, I think in order to do this, I guess I'm just going to need a little support here or there, but for sure the information flow has got to be very open.
Yeah, I am willing to, you know, share any information that I have, so either email or call with whatever questions you have.
All right. Yeah, I won't burden everyone else here, but I imagine I'll be in contact with you.
Okay. No problem.
Holly, are you on Board Plus?
Yes.
Anthony, I'm willing to help you with that.
And it,
all right, cool.
This might not be a bad conversation to have on Board Plus if, you know, some other people on Board Plus think of things we don't. So if you do that, it might be better to use that forum. However, if you don't want to deal with it, you have my full support to ditch it.
Okay. No, that's a good idea, Chuck.
But it's up to you. I mean, seriously, sometimes it's not better. So decide if it's good for you or not.
Okay.
All right, anything else? All right, Mike, does anybody need Holly to hang around, including you, Mike?
No.
Holly, you are free to go.
Fabulous,
like.
Thanks.
Welcome to stay if you'd like.
Holly.
I think I will retire to the television, thanks. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night, Holly.
Good night.
Mike, you're on.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Hello, everybody. And first, I'd like to thank John, Sandy, Holly, and, of course, Martin for hours and hours and hours of work that they've put in since I spoke to you last. But I have a pretty comprehensive report here tonight, and everything seems to be going very well. Over the Christmas holiday, we closed the festival budget for 2009 using more or less standardized pricing with higher prices and the conventional three-tier date pricing and youth and senior package pricing. And it shows a $17,000 profit. And I think it's pretty conservative. Of course, it all depends on attendance. The model is showing a profit with 425 attendees in what we think will be a typical mixture of adults and juniors. If the attendance falls a lot below that or the mix is off a great deal in either direction, it could affect the revenue quite a bit, but our costs are relatively fixed. The brochure is about 99% done, and I think by the time this call is over, we will have everything we need to put the brochure to bed and get it to the printer for printing and posting on the website. All of the feature artists are confirmed, and Dan Holtzman is still contemplating two more acts to fill out the Cascade of Stars show, but we're going to wait until we see where we're at on travel expenses for the acts that we've already got committed. Just to remind everybody, our featured artists for 2009 are Michael Menis, Michael Chirik, who's also receiving an IJA award, Team RDL, which is Jay Gilligan, Wes Peden, Eric Aberg, and Peter Elmnert, all coming from Sweden. Florent Lestage, a young performer from France, and Greg Kennedy. Dan also has booked in Ivan Pacell and Dan Bennett to round out some of the shows. Keith Nelson has volunteered to run the midnight shows again, and I'm very grateful for that, and I think he'll be working with Crash on that. Our special workshop will be delivered by Team RDL, so there'll be four instructors giving 9 hours of instruction. We're going to price the special workshop at $150, and we're hoping to sign up as many as 40 people. Because there's four instructors, that would still be manageable. We are starting to book some of the travel for our special guests so that we can get a handle on budgeting and lock in some good fares if they're available. The hotel room blocks are available for sale, and we put links to those blocks and the discount codes in the December newsletter that went out just before Christmas. We have confirmed all of the details for the airport shuttle van service that we're going to offer discounted shuttle vans for our guests and visitors who come in through GSO Airport. They'll be able to save about half of what they would pay with a regular shuttle van or taxi. And this is thanks to a very generous subsidy that was given to the IJA by the Winston-Salem CVB. We will be able to sell these discounted tickets and still make money on it. So it's a very good deal for both sides and for our jugglers. The Winston-Salem CVB is also going to provide us free of charge for a cashier that we can use at the IJA table or for general purpose use at the IJA table.
Nice.
Yeah, they have been very, very generous. Actually, they've given us the use of 40 hours of their staff time for anything that we want to use it for during the week, and the cashier is only about 25 hours of that, so it's going to be even more that we can use their staff for, if we can think of it. Some of you got an email from Kevin Axtell just a while ago, and I was glad to see it. However, I haven't been able to contact Kevin until tonight to get with him on workshop arrangements. And he wrote tonight to say that he will be back in touch soon, and that's good because otherwise I would be very concerned at this point that we can't reach our workshops director. Question to the board would be, or to Chuck, what day and time do you want to have the 2009 annual business meeting during the week?
Since I'm going to be running it, and I'm probably going to be running juniors prelims, juniors tech runs, last year I had to leave early, and I even flipped it with David Groth, so... If we still definitely want to do Wednesday and not Tuesday, I would prefer to actually do it on Tuesday if possible, but I don't know if it's too early in the week.
Just change it to Tuesday, Chuck. You're overanalyzing it.
Well, it usually coincides with the election and stuff like that. Anybody see a problem?
It does coincide with the election because that's when the election is. You can change the rules to keep the election open for another day or something, but... The thing is that on Tuesday you'll probably have fewer people attending the meeting. Certainly we can get the word out that it's on Tuesday if you want to move it to Tuesday, assuming that doesn't conflict with something else.
I would prefer to do it Tuesday. But, Mike, it doesn't seem like anybody has a real problem. No one has a clear objection to it. So let me talk to you about it on Tuesday, We'll work that out with the time. I just got to figure out what else is going on there. But why don't I talk to you about that later on, maybe like tomorrow night or something? Is that okay?
Sure, that'll be fine. And I don't think we specified date or time on that in the brochure, did we, Martin?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
It's been at noon on Wednesday for a long time. It, you know, the old staff used to hold it at like 8 o'clock in the morning someday, and nobody... you know, could manage to get up and go to it. So it was always a very small meeting of like 10 people, most of whom were on the board. So
yeah.
Are you looking at noon on Tuesday, Chuck?
Noon at Tuesday would be fine. I could also do it a little later in the afternoon. That would be fine as well. I just know a lot less seems to happen on Tuesday.
Well, don't forget, Tuesday is the first actual official day of the fest. Monday is usually the free day.
Right.
So Tuesday at noon, you still have a lot of people walking up to get their festival packet, their registration packets and that. And a lot of us are usually, I know last year and the year before, if you remember, Chuck, a lot of us were still at the registration table at noon on Tuesday.
How would you guys feel about Tuesday at like 3 p.m.? Still enough time before the open in case it goes over 2 hours. You still got enough time to get dinner and still get to the opening show by 7.
Might be better. Mike, is there anything going on Tuesday afternoon?
No, there isn't, and there is a show Tuesday night at 8.
Is the special workshop starting on Tuesday?
Starts Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay, so no conflict there?
No, of course there'll be workshops, but I don't know of any other special events on Tuesday. Joggling is at 9 a.m., so that'll be done already.
It's easy enough to avoid scheduling workshops during this thing. Because we haven't scheduled them yet.
And based on previous workshops, Tuesday is the least popular day because people are still getting there and
right
in the week. So
same reason it's the least popular for this sort of thing. Yeah, so we could all do Tuesday afternoon. That'd probably be better, a little better than Tuesday at noon.
Okay, so just as I'll put a place marker in there for Tuesday afternoon for now. We'll say like 2 o'clock, and Chuck, you can let me know if you have any other thoughts.
Okay.
Well, Chuck had three.
Yeah.
Do you want to shoot?
Do we shut the desk down for the meeting? Do we
the registration desk?
Desk, yeah.
Why should we?
We don't usually.
Okay. If we don't do that, the problem then is that Tuesday the registration desk gets hit really hard. And anybody who's volunteering there is going to be hard-pressed to break away anytime on Tuesday.
Can we do it Tuesday at 4 p.m.?
Yeah, that's probably the best idea.
And then that way it only takes an hour out of workshops, and basically you close the registration table down an hour early.
Yeah.
And workshops will end at 4 that day.
I think that's not a bad idea.
Okay, got it.
All right. Mike, if you don't hear from me in the next 2 days, accept it as fact, I guess.
Got it. Okay.
I'm bored anyway.
All right. Then other items on my report. Mary Sparr has resigned as numbers director because she just has too many other commitments with the rest of her life going on right now. But she is helping me in the search for her successor, and she has supplied a good list of candidates for the job, and I'm working that list now. As a matter of fact,
and also resigning?
As per Mary, Scott Kane has resigned. So I have not spoken to Scott, but information from Mary is that he had already done so.
Okay.
And I do have an offer out and waiting to hear back confirmation on the very first candidate on our list already, so that's looking good.
Okay.
Dina,
do you want to post on our new volunteers page?
I would like to exhaust the list of candidates that she sent me first, Martin,
okay.
Before asking for an open offer. Okay, Dina Sharnhurst has confirmed her participation again as volunteers coordinator, and thanks to Martin and David Landown, we have a special web page now that lists our volunteers' positions that are open, and I can edit it, and I think Martin can and Dina can.
Right.
And that's working pretty slick, and that's at juggle.org/VOLS. As of today, we have a P.O. box for our mailed-in registrations, and yours truly will be the pre-festival registrar this year. I'm going to be using FileMaker Pro, and Jerry Martin has agreed to be the on-site registrar again once we get to Winston-Salem, so I will hand it off to him then. And I'm hoping I can get him some a little farther along the learning curve on FileMaker Pro before we get to Winston-Salem because he's never used it before, hasn't used it much, and he's used to doing it with Excel. He sent me his Excel spreadsheet, and it had something close to 325 columns in it. So that's when I said this needs to be a database and not a spreadsheet. And again, I would like to thank John, Sandy, Martin, David, and everybody else, Holly as well, for their outstanding help and guidance. And tell you the truth, I'm fairly comfortable with how things are going so far, and I think we're in good shape. So with that, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to give the report and take any questions that you have.
First, Mike, I'd like to publicly thank you for you're doing a great job, and I'm really happy to see the way things are going this year and just things getting done up front and early. One question I do have is people need coordinators, need different volunteers to help out, we contact Dina for that?
Yes, they can go to the website page that I mentioned, or they can write to Dina at her festvolunteers@juggle.org, I believe it is.
Are you saying if people need volunteers or want to volunteer?
I'm saying as a championships director, I'm going to need stagehands. I may need some people
to
help with stuff. So I may want to your list. And I'm just putting it out there. People might want.
Oh, okay. Write to me with those, Chuck, and we'll add them to the page that we have up. And I've already got stage assistants and ushers and things like that on there, so I'd be happy to add any others that you need.
Okay. And if anybody speaks Japanese, that would be a great volunteer asset. My mom had a little trouble last year with it.
Paging Matt Hall.
Yeah, I know. I think he's coming this year, so I think I'll be talking to him.
We also give Chuck access to write to edit that page if we need.
Mm-hmm.
The volunteers page. So Chuck, it's simple thing. It's got two columns, a title and a description, and you can just go in and edit stuff, add stuff, delete stuff, whatever.
All right, we'll figure it out. I'll probably let you know in the next. I'm going to have everything sort of finalized in 2 or 3 weeks. So.
Okay.
Dina works her butt off at the festival, but she doesn't do anything leading up to the festival. All her job is there.
I would concur with that.
Any other questions, then? Yes, John.
Mike, I've got a question. if we decide to do something with the festival video, is there time to make that change in the brochure before it goes to press?
Well, we have a pricing line on there, don't we, Martin? So we would need, if it's going to affect pricing or the mere fact that is there a video available or not, we ought to know about it now.
Yeah, exactly. That needs to be decided, I think, at this meeting.
Yeah, but I'm saying if we decide something tonight, is there time to change it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we're not final. Yeah, that's fine.
No problem.
One other thing that I think is an open item that the board should discuss and decide tonight is the prize money for the Numbers Championships, and that's the only other thing we have open on for the brochure to close.
I have a motion up for that right now.
Okay.
Up as soon as the reports are done, we're going to be talking about that. Any other questions?
Let me just point out, I don't think Mike said it, but I think we tweaked around with the budget a little bit, and it came out with close to a $20,000 profit, and that's projecting basically a 20% drop across the board from Winston-Salem. You know, a 20% drop in attendance, sales, revenue, everything across the board.
From 2 years before.
Right. So if we hold it to a 20% drop, we're projecting close to $20,000 profit. So it's a pretty strong budget, I think.
That sounds very good. Don't let Dan break you down, Mike.
Dan?
Dan Holtzman. I'm just kidding.
Oh no, I'm just concerned about airfares. That's the only thing, and we don't have much control over them. But I think we're going to make it. We'll be okay.
Excellent. Any other questions for Festival? Okay,
thank you all.
Thank you, Mike.
All right.
Thanks, Mike. Great job.
Good night.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Good night.
Are there any other reports?
I'll give a video report.
Okay.
I hate being video coordinator.
What? Mm-hmm. You want that in the written report?
That's the shortest report I've ever heard.
Self typing like a mad woman.
there have been a number of problems, and really I had a lot of health problems in December and was not available to get the project back on track a lot of times when it got off track. Right now, my graphic artist is having problems, and we still don't have cover art. But, you know, the replicators have the disc, and as soon as we finish getting it together, we'll get it out as soon as we can. Hopefully it'll be in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. I understood, John. I hope you're feeling better now and do as well as you can.
Thanks.
I give a quick championships note here for a heads-up to the board. I got an email from potential junior's competitor who's turning 18 the week before the festival. And with the varying times, we haven't really the rules don't really establish the age limit and make it very, very clear cut, although I think the intentions of the rule are clear that, you know, the competition is for kids under the age of 18. So I told them that, you know, you have to be under 18 the day of the competition, and that basically falls in line with the policy of the festival youth pricing as well. So I'm going to make a proposal for the next board meeting that we amend the rules to just say competitors that are interested in entering the juniors competition must be under the age of 18 the day of the competition. So
what does it say now?
It basically says the juniors competition is for those under the age of 18. However, what if they're under the age of 18 when they do prelims? What if they're under the age of 18 when the festival starts? You know, where do we draw that line? And
I think that's a good clarification.
I think the intention is there, and it would be hard for me, the way I look at it is it would be hard for me to give a valid reason why an 18-year-old should be in the competition when they're 18 the day of the competition to someone else who's under the age of 18 when it's supposed to be a juniors competition. So I'll put it out for the board for the next month's meeting, and if anybody has a problem with it, we can hash it out there. But other than that, everything's going well with championships, and I should have the page updated, stuff going to David for the updates for prelims within probably by the end of the month, I'm aiming for. So should be all wrapped up with that and be good to go, and then I'm just going to be looking for judges. So
why not change it to say you must have been under the age of 18 at some point in your life?
That's why I turned to you for help. So anyway, that's my little report, my little update. Not much. Anybody else have any other reports?
I mean, I'll talk about what I've done on the what I'm working on with the magazine so far, and it's short, but Kim has given me some leads on the printing companies, as well as a list of stuff that she's submitted in the past with Sandy, and more or less, as soon as it's organized, I'm going to start soliciting for bids. But again, there's a lot of side talk about making two-tiered membership programs and whatnot that seems to be talked about by a few people, but not really taken seriously. And I'd like some. I guess I need to start posting on the forum about, you know, getting some opinions on these things. As far as the survey goes, I'm just cleaning that up. And, John, your comments were very, what's the word, valid. So I'm going to adjust things a little bit to take that into account.
Anthony, I did meet with the TN printing people yesterday.
Right.
And I'll send you all of that information. Just since it has been bannered around about doing this two-tiered system.
Yeah.
I did ask them about that because they also do digital magazines where they are set up. And they would actually be able to, whatever the print magazine is, put it into digitized format so that it could be sent out to our members either via email or through a download on the internet.
Awesome.
So I didn't have a written price on that aspect of it.
Okay.
Because it was not something I had told them about in advance, but they are getting that together for me as well.
All right. Yeah, I really don't want to I don't want to take too many steps on my own, because like what I mean is, you know, if I would have sent that festival survey or that magazine survey out without getting comments back, you know, what John had said is absolutely correct. It would have just made some feel good and some feel bad. So, you know, I want to get everyone's input as much as I can, but at the same time, we can't wait forever, you know?
Right, and, you know, that's the way we've been trying to do it all, you know,
yeah,
in the recent past, so.
Sure. And that's about all I have. Sorry it's not more, but at the same time, you know, it is moving, so.
Thanks, Anthony.
Yep.
Any other reports? Okay, then let's move on to the – hold on a second. The motion. I move that the individual prop competition be adjusted to $600, $100 per event. I get a second.
I second.
Discussion.
Do you make sure the word prize money is in that motion?
Okay, so we'll just to say Chuck moves that the individual prop competition prize – oh, I didn't say prize money. I'm sorry. It is listed as prize money. I move that the individual prize competition prize money be adjusted to $600. That's the – I'm reading it wrong. I'm sorry. So
yeah, in fact, maybe make it prize money fund. Nobody thinks it's $600 per event.
In semicolon, $100 per event, it says behind it. I'm not reading the whole thing.
Anything else you'd like to share with us, Chuck?
Okay, I'm going to read the start over. Chuck moves that the individual prop competition prize money be adjusted to $600, $100 per event. Can I get a second?
I second.
Thank you, Anthony. Discussion. So Sorry about that, guys.
Okay. Do we know who is doing the prop competition yet?
Right now it's listed on the website as Matt Hall and Kevin.
Yeah, and I had
from last year.
Well, I did talk to Kevin, and he did say that Matt was supposed to be doing it, and they were supposed to take care of that with Mike. And the only reason I ask this question is because I know when Kevin was doing the competition last year, on behalf of he and Matt, he threw out the question, should there be different competitions added? And I know they were looking at, you know, possibly adding on a couple of things. So I'm just wondering if we should, I hate to say this, reword this so that it doesn't necessarily say $100 per event, but let the whoever's running the prop competition, you know, decide on how to split the money evenly in case they do add.
It's really not up to us to split it up. We can just give them whoever's running the show, we give them a prize fund, and they do whatever mm-hmm. they want with it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. So let's adjust it to say
prize money be adjusted to a total of $600 for the competition.
Right.
Just
so
just make it prize money fund and end the sentence there.
Okay. So Chuck Hawley moves that the individual prop competition prize money fund be adjusted to $600.
Right.
How the motion reads. And then I figure if someone really feels that strongly about it, where they want $100 per event and have two new events, they're welcome to come to the board, and we can consider that motion. There's nothing to say we can't change it in the future, but until someone really champions this and gives us a good reason to get behind it, I think this is fair.
I do, too.
That's my 2 cents.
Yep, I agree. If they, you know, if they decide a month before the festival that they want to change the number of events, whatever, they'll come to us.
Right.
Well, they shouldn't be changing it a month before the festival. It should be fixed basically in the next 2 weeks, so that we can advertise it. Because if you don't advertise it, it's kind of pointless.
Well, we haven't advertised it before, have we?
Right.
Every year we've advertised what events there are, and we've generally advertised the prize money as well. So
do we advertise the prize money per event or as a fund? Because
it has probably varied, but if you calculate the total number of events and divide by, you know, divide that into the number of amount of prize money, you can probably figure out how much per event.
Well, I was with Holtzman in Winston-Salem and Portland, both as he was figuring out what the prize money should be and how many events they were having and stuff, and that was basically the day of.
Well, that's Holtzman, but, I mean, we published something in the brochure. You can look back.
Yeah.
There was something in last year's brochure, and it said it was on Thursday afternoon, look for the best in 3 balls, 3 clubs, 1 Diablo, 1 Devil Stick, 3 cigar boxes, and 3 rings. Cash prizes totaling $1,200 will be awarded, and then it had about the entry fee in it.
Right. And then that, you know, then Holtzman was figuring out the day of how to portion out that $1,200. I'm sorry. I'm sure that's how we did it each year. We just listed the amount. But also, probably each year, maybe not this year, but probably each the rest of the years, the events were added and dropped after that. And Dan took us $1,200 to figure out how best to use it.
There have been events added and dropped from year to year, but generally not at the last minute. They've been added and dropped in time to go into the brochure.
Yeah.
What has been often decided sort of late is how the, let's say there's such $300 for an event, how that would be split among first, second, and third place.
Right.
And lately it's been like first and second place money. But, and in the first years it was only first place money. So that breakdown has almost never been announced in advance. But at least we know in advance, people know in advance which events they're going to be. They should know which events they're going to be so that they can know what to practice and, plan to enter.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
Any further discussion? All right, let's put this to a vote. Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? All right, motion passes. Now we can move on to Varia. Does anybody else have anything to bring up?
I'm just curious, have we had anyone submit any nominations for board yet?
Not that I know of, but who does that go to, Martin?
It goes to me, to David, and in the past it has gone to board members who were not up for re-election, who were not up for potential renomination. And I don't know that the list has been updated for this year.
It
basically should go to board members who are remaining on the board. And there was some issue about whether people who are up for re-election, that is to say, whose term is ending this July, whether those people should receive advance notification of who's running. So that's why it didn't has you know, sometimes not gone to all the board members. I'm not sure I agree with that idea, but the board could pass some rule if they wanted on that issue. But basically, it's something that David and I and, you know, a couple other people have tried to decide on. I haven't seen any nominations, so I don't believe there have been any. Not surprising. We usually don't see them until, you know, the last month or so.
Okay, thanks.
I've got a few people that I intend to nominate.
Getting nasty, huh?
I have a question. Scott Seltzer is planning on resigning as store manager, correct, Martin?
That's correct. As soon as the festival stuff has been added to the store for this year's registration.
And considering the status of our store, should we be looking for someone else to be filling that position?
Well, I suppose, I've even contemplating offering to do it myself, partly because there's not much in the store, and it really only needs to be updated, you know, once per juggle issue and once a year for the festival stuff. So, I think Scott perhaps has been disappointed that there really hasn't been more substantive work, especially in the creative side. I'm sure he'd rather be doing that kind of stuff. It's been a fairly small amount of work, I think, that he's been called on to do, mostly to remove all the DVDs from the store.
Then the other question I have is, I haven't heard much from Chan.
Sean rhymes with John. Sean.
Sean, the assistant webmaster. I deal with David at least a once a month basis, and he seems to do everything. And I know at one point he had talked about possibly getting someone to help out. Martin? Do you have any sense on that? Or
yeah, I mean, I think Sean has been inactive. And he was at one point supposed to be looking into the database merger stuff, and I think nothing much ever came of that. I wouldn't expect him to be coming back to an active role.
And when I was chair, he was not active either. He started the database merger and never really followed through.
Maybe we should talk to David about seeing if he needs anybody else to help out, but there doesn't seem like there is much going on right now.
No, I mean, you know, David and I actually have been working together on trying to get Google Checkout to be available for the store in addition to PayPal. And so there has been some work on that in the last few weeks. I'm not clear whether we're going to succeed in that regard. But, there's just sort of maintenance issues and updates and stuff like that. The database stuff was a substantial job, and that's one reason why various previous webmasters never got it done. So it's not clear that we'll ever get there or want to get there or need to get there at this point, but if it magically appeared, you know, it might be nice.
Gotcha. So, do you think we should be looking for somebody else to help him out, or are you guys? Do you think it? And I can always email David about that too. I guess that's the better.
I think that's the thing to do. Ask David, you know, if he feels he needs help. I mean, basically, the board didn't appoint Kwan. David did, as his assistant, and so you know, I suppose David could do that again if he, I don't think he needs the board approval to have somebody help him.
Okay. Anything else?
I want to talk about the festival video a little bit. You know, long term, I don't know what might be done with this. You know, it might be gotten rid of altogether. I don't think this is the year for that.
Up a little bit, John.
Sorry. Wait. Let me get to a better place.
Emotionally.
All right. You know, I don't think this is the year to say we're not going to do a festival video. But I do think it's probably the year to say, why the heck do we sell the festival video for $10 or $15 to people who go to the festival? This is an idea that, you know, Todd Strong started in 2005 as festival director. And to be honest, I've never really understood it myself. You know, I think if we sold it for, you know, $25 with the festival package, that's a lot more reasonable. Sales will go down, but I think revenue will go up overall. You know, there's just no reason it should be selling for $15. We sell it for $40 in the store to members,
Non-members.
I'm sorry, non-members?
Member price is $30.
$30. So I don't see why we shouldn't sell it for $25 along with the festival package. I don't think we need a motion for that. I was just wondering if anybody objected or had any other opinions on the subject. Because if not, I'm just going to, as video coordinator, I'm just going to tell Mike, listen, we're not, you know, this year we're going to do it for $25.
And it's two DVDs, right?
It is, yeah.
And I don't see an issue with that at all.
And I had posted that on the forum a day or two ago that I didn't understand why we were charging such a low price for a double DVD set.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd like to comment on that.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, Todd wanted to get the DVD out into people's hands. This is actually something that I wanted to do for years because I just charged $35 to $40 per VHS tape. And that's, you know, that's twice what we're charging, more than twice what we're charging now, the normal rate, forget the festival rate. I wanted to see that rate come down so that more people could buy it. The thing is, you want to, in some way, optimize the number of people that buy it. So revenue is maximized while at the same time the most people possible can get the video. And it's impossible to just snap your fingers and know the answer to that question, what the price should be to get the most sales and the most revenue or the most, you know, whatever. I think it was an interesting idea of selling it for $10 originally, and then we bumped it up to $15. I'm not sure how much sales went up. I don't know that we have very good records on that, to tell the truth. We do have some records. We know what we've sold with the festival, but I don't think we had records for sales before the price went down because we didn't sell it with the festival. I also think that this might indeed be the year to consider not selling the festival DVD. Video it with, you know, somebody, with people, have volunteers video it or whatever. I mean, if we're talking about $18,000 or something, that's a substantial amount of money to be saved by not producing it. And I believe, you know, I don't remember the exact amount that the various people got paid to video it and edit it, but it's a substantial amount.
Yeah, it's around, just off the top of my head, around $11,000.
Right.
To get it videoed and edited.
I mean, you can look at reproduction costs as being covered by the sales, but the cost to pay the videographer for filming and editing is substantial, and we don't really recover that cost.
So, what do you guys think?
I'm in favor for raise. I'm in favor of the $25.
And continuing to produce it, then, obviously.
Continuing to produce it, at least this year. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think a discussion needs to be made, and you know, I think if you put it out there and say, you know, we're thinking about discontinuing this because we don't have as much interest as, you know, we have in the past, and we're losing money on it. That discussion can be had. And then the question becomes, what is allowed to be videotaped by who?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, because if someone puts on, someone does a competition and they put themselves or in a show, are you allowed to videotape during a show?
Well, the shows we can always say no to because we have performers. That's an issue with performers and their professional, their own copyright. But, you know, if we still do need a record. We need a record of the championship.
Right.
You know, we can get that purely volunteer recorded.
Well, for years, this is Sandy, for years since 79, I mean, we always have a videographer, and typically what would happen is that they would record all the primary events, and correct me if I'm wrong, Martin, I think you and I have probably been here the longest, and then, you know, for example, people wanted to have a tape of their championship routine, then the Amazing Fantasy Jugglers, who were the videographers at the time, before Alan Plotkin, they would, you know, pay to have that done. And so there is a significant record. It's just a matter of, you know, whether or not we go through the process of selling them.
And paying.
What's that?
And paying to video them.
Yeah, and paying to video them. I mean, you know, I think that having them, having somebody tape them, having a film person do it is not really a big deal. I mean, we already have that now with Jay Coe.
I might be talking out of my butt here, why don't we tack $40 onto the price of every festival package and just make it mandatory part of the registration? So every person who attends gets it, whether they want it or not, but the price is already included in the package.
We've already raised the price substantially this year.
Agreed. Maybe it's not for this year, but I honestly don't think. To be honest, Martin, I agree 100% with you that it should be discontinued this year. But I unfortunately don't think we have the time to properly put an alternative into place prior to the festival and with enough time to advertise it. Like,
I don't understand. We have 6 months to find volunteers to tape stuff.
No, I understand that too, but your point earlier was we need to advertise things, right? So if we need to advertise whether or not we're doing this,
it has to be done today. Yeah, that's right. Or, you know, in the next couple of weeks. If the board isn't quite ready to decide this, but could be decided, you know, later this month, you could put this decision off. But you could also decide tonight, for instance, that you weren't going to sell the DVD, that we would just record it, and I'm positive we can get volunteers to video it. Worst case, we would offer to let them have a copy of the thing they produce, but I don't think we even need to do that.
We already, in a sense, have a volunteer in Jay, because all he asks for is his travel expenses. Correct me if I'm wrong, John, most of the production expense, not counting replication, is actually the company that comes in to do the championships and the evening, like Cascade of Stars and that? And
No,
that's not really true.
Most of it is the editing.
That was the other part I was going to say. It was, you know, because I know I wrote out a fairly substantial check to John, but I know the editing is also a big part of it.
Yeah.
But that's
editing
what I'm saying,
is
you've got Jay there.
Editing is about twice as much as the recording.
And there's one critical element you have to keep in mind, which is this. Volunteers, amateurs do not do a good job in the theater. That's just the story. It just is. Jay does a great job everywhere else, but he does a terrible job in the theater. This year, he was using John Hickey's equipment, and he was under John's guidance. So John made all the settings on the camera and guided him on how to videotape. To be perfectly frank, Jay's footage was by far the worst of the three cameras. Professionals, you know, people who go to school to learn how to make film, understand how to videotape in very difficult lighting conditions, which is what we get in the theaters. And I have yet to see the amateur that can do it well.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. If we don't sell the video, does it matter that we have a professionally made video?
Have you seen Jay's work? I could send you some of it, Mark. And I think you would say this is probably not acceptable for even for just a record.
I've seen some of Jay's work in the past, and you know, it hasn't been stellar.
From the shows, I mean, from festival shows, you know, in a theater.
Yeah, I don't want to comment.
Okay, I'm not sure where you would see it, but you know, Jay is a very good friend of mine, and I think he would be the first one to tell you that, which is why he was very behind this whole plan of him not being the videographer for the shows this year, last year. He was very, he was happy to work under John and use his equipment, but he himself would be the first one to tell you that he would not, he would not think his own work would be up to the task.
Well, another option is to, you know, continue with paying, you know, a professional to shoot the shows in the theater and having Jay do his volunteer stuff, but not sell a DVD. As you say, that cuts our cost by about two-thirds.
Yes.
Yep. And I don't know what it actually cost to get the, you know, professional in the theater, but that's definitely less than the editing.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we would cut our total project costs from, you know, $16,000 to $18,000 down to about $4,000 to $6,000.
Mm-hmm. So we're basically saving $10,000 or something.
Yeah.
What's our revenue on that?
That I don't know.
Our revenue of what, Chuck? There isn't any.
How much do we make off the video? How much do we pull in for video sales, including the $10 or $15 at the festival and people who order it within the first, let's say, 2 years?
Holly has those numbers, but we don't make anything. I mean, we don't break even on it.
Do we get $10,000 back? Do we get $5,000?
No. We might get. I'll check on that for you and get back to you. I'll email the board tomorrow. I'll email Holly tomorrow. So your question is, what do we make total on the videos?
Yeah, and I'm looking for vicinity. I'm saying, is it more like $2,000? Is it more like $10,000? Or is it somewhere in between?
It's not $10,000.
No, I think I can find the number of pre-sale DVDs from last year's registration. Let me see if I can pull that up.
I think it's 210, Martin.
My memory from Winston-Salem is around 200.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've probably sold maybe 25 since then.
So
well,
it's like $3,000 pre and then 25 times 15 afterwards.
Yeah, so we're talking 15,000. I mean,
times 30.
15 times
750. It's like $4,000 we're looking at.
Yeah, $4,000.
Give or take $1,000. So,
yep.
Okay. All right, so yeah, the reproduction costs, we're not even getting that back.
Not even close.
Well, it's good to know where we're at and make a decision off that.
Yeah, the thing is, if we're going to get rid of the video this year, we have to do it before the brochure comes together.
Exactly.
Yep.
I really think that's a very drastic decision to make in the next week, which is, you know, where the brochure is.
Well, you know, let me just point out one possibility. If you were to decide a year and a half from now, If you were to go ahead with my suggestion of getting a professional videographer, doing the video there but not producing a DVD, then you've got the footage. And a year and a half from now or whenever, you could put out this year's DVD. Not saying you would want to, but you could always do that. And we don't need to advertise that we might put out a DVD later. We could simply remove the advertising and sales from the brochure and the festival registration and say, we're not planning to put out a DVD this year, or we could just not say anything, but in particular not sell any with the registration.
Yeah,
that doesn't preclude us from putting it out even right after the festival if we decided to do so.
But it does preclude us from making it part of the festival package.
Yes, it precludes us from a pre-sale package.
Yeah, I like I said, I'm with Martin, but I'm with John also. It's too drastic to make within a week. I would not vote for it.
Yeah, I don't think we should discontinue the festival video this year.
Being said, if let's talk about it next week and for next year. You know what I mean? Let's not let this conversation come back in next January.
No, I think we need to ruffle some feathers on at least on the forum and throw it out there. This is a money-saving idea, and what do you think? And let's see if we get no reaction, then maybe it's worth ditching. If everybody comes back and is crazy about it, then I think, it's worthwhile continuing the conversation. Anybody else on video?
John talked about raising the price, assuming we keep it. And I would support that, assuming that it didn't in fact reduce the amount of income. It's very hard to say, as I say. What's the supply and demand curve look like? But certainly $25 for two DVDs is quite a reasonable price.
Yeah, okay, I think that's what we're going to do. Let's see what effect it has this year. Who knows, maybe we'll sell just as many and make a whole lot more, and that'll affect our decision for next year.
Anthony, you're taking notes about this? You'll be around next year.
Yeah, I don't need notes. I'll remember.
Okay. Mark and I will be here to remind you in case you don't.
No, I won't remember because I'm not taking notes.
Yeah.
Yes, Mark, you never remember anything.
No.
Okay. So, is there anybody else have anything they'd like to bring up?
I'd just like to say I think you're great, Chuck.
And Janelle's noting that now. All right, then let's move to the next meeting, February. Anybody have any weekends to avoid?
I'm in India until the 8th.
Nice.
Okay. So maybe the 18th or 25th. Better or worse for anyone?
I'm sorry. Wait a second. Yeah, the first good.
Anybody have a preference to the 18th or 25th?
I'm
18th is closer to the middle.
Let's do the 18th then. Board meeting will be on the 18th at 8 p.m.
Eastern time.
Eastern time. All right. And I will move to adjourn the meeting. Any opposed? All right. Well, thank you very much, guys. And I'll be putting some stuff up on the – we need to get some of the stuff on the forum as well. So feel free to post.
Yeah.
Sure. John?
Yeah.
I'm just going to put in – I'm just going to update the price to 25 in the brochure then for now.
Okay.
That's the only change as far as I see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
and the $600 for the
Yeah, I got that.
Great. All right, thanks guys. Have a good night.
Good night.
Thanks everybody. Take it easy.
Easy.
Bye.
Bye everybody.